Podcast. Hogan Johns.
When you are where we're at in the last two games, you play through matchups. You play through how guys are playing. You play through how coaches are coaching, myself. By week six, week seven, you say, okay, now we know who we are. Now let's go ball out. Let's go play.
WGN Radio presents Hogan Johns.
What time is it?
I know that what we've done the last 2 weeks, unfortunately, is not us.
Trubisky to the end zone, and it's going to be picked off. It's Adrian Amos who comes back to haunt his old team.
We can't keep doing that, but I like that we're going through some adversity right now. I like that we got the win.
And the kick by Pinheiro. It's good, and the Bears win it.
It's making us mentally tougher, and I think we're learning from that.
With WGN's Adam Hogue.
You're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
And from The Athletic. Adam Johns.
It should be more natural, brother.
Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tail.
T-minus 10 seconds.
Here they are.
Wow, wow, wow.
The Adams.
Unfreaking believable.
Hogan Johns.
And
there's the dynamite.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns. Ready for some Monday Night Football.
Are you really? It's like 4 or 5 days away, it feels like. I don't like Monday Night Football games. It makes the week feel longer.
It does. And then next week is going to be super weak.
Yes, yes, yes. But still not a noon game at 3:25 against the Vikings.
Yes.
What an off. Just a different schedule.
Isn't it weird for us?
Yes.
Basically the entire time we have covered this team, we have been used to mostly noon games. And then every once in a while,
because they've stunk.
Yeah, and then maybe three night games. Now, last year, they threw in more night games because they got flexed a couple times. But basically, the other games were still noon. The changeup this year is all the late afternoon games.
So we had a Thursday nighter. We had, what was last week? I'm already forgetting last week already.
It was a late afternoon.
Late afternoon in Denver.
Yeah.
So, which is different for us, different for the team, different for fans.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Monday night. Then we have a 3:25 on a Sunday. And then we're going to London.
The biggest curveball will be the 3:25 games at home.
Yes.
That had not, I want to say,
there's not many.
I remember Packers week 17, 2013. The game that came down to
the Chris Conley game?
Yes. That was a late afternoon game.
Oof, oof. Yes, it was.
Otherwise, I could really cannot remember.
That's right, because that highlight of him blowing his coverage, it was dark. Well,
it was dark.
It's also winter that time, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was December.
It was December. But if it was noon, it would not be dark.
That's
saying, yeah.
That's
touche.
Science.
Yes,
that
science.
Science,
yes,
for you.
Yes, the world evolves.
And speaking of that, it's pretty depressing that the sun is setting before 7 o'clock now.
Yeah,
all
there.
Of a sudden,
we're there.
But
we're there.
Football gets us through this time of year. I actually don't mind the fall. It's once football ends and we have those three awful months of Chicago winter with no football.
Yeah, it was 85 yesterday here.
Whew.
Yeah, fall.
Love it.
Not quite here yet.
I'm fine with that. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Welcome in, Hogan Johns, episode 257, as we preview the Bears and Redskins Monday night in Washington, wherever the hell they play. Landover, Maryland is the exact town,
mm-hmm.
I believe. They apparently hate that stadium out there. It's not that old. And it's not located in a convenient place.
Was it Ben Standick who was telling us last week they've actually consistently removed seats from that stadium because they can't consistently fill it?
Your days are just massively screwed up right now.
Yes, oh yeah.
That was 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
And that was actually Kevin Fishbane referencing something from the Bill Simmons podcast. But you were close.
Telling you, I need Sunday games at noon. Need Sunday games at noon to keep my sanity.
All right. Well, we'll pick the games coming up here. And, there's some good games in the NFL. We'll break this one down. We got a bunch of Bears conversation coming up. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us at WGNradio.com/Bears. The Athletic, app. Such a good app. I was looking at it this morning. Some good stuff you guys got up there.
Podcast right at the top of the Bears page.
It's really, I have to say, I've been very encouraged by the lack of complaining from listeners that I wouldn't blame them for being annoyed. Like, oh, I got to listen to one episode on one app, the next on the other app. But the Athletic app is so good, and the podcast player is so good. It's not really
it's
that
easy.
Big a problem.
Yeah, just open a different app. Everybody's on their phone anyway. It's not that hard.
It's real. And so I think that's a testament to both our listeners, who are cool, and The Athletic for their sweet app that they do have. We'll hear from Joey Jojo coming up here in our picks segment.
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Oh, no. Hi, Joey Jojo!
There's one college game where I'm just going to stay out of the way.
I'm just
from the
announce. Call me a Welch.
Oh, there he is!
There he is.
Yes, there's a college game this week. I'm just going to let you guys go. Just go at it. Go at it.
See, I'm a little upset Joe got here. So we have a new
sneaky
we have a new setup this year. I don't mind going in behind the scenes here. We have a new setup this year so that we can actually start earlier. Joe, of course, is the amazing producer of the Steve Cochran Show. So there's a little bit of a time overlap here, and I was just going to get all my crap talking about Michigan out of the way before you got here, Joe. But now you're here, so I can't.
I could smell that from a mile away. You know that.
He's like, he can already feel it. He's like, oh, it's Wisconsin week.
Yes.
I got to get in the studio faster.
Yes. He's been preparing 2 days for this, probably.
Just have to do it. All right. Should we dive into some... that's a good tease for later on. Sounds like Johns is actually excited for the college picks this week.
A little bit.
I like it.
A little bit.
He just likes
it. We're just to see you guys banter. Yeah,
fair enough. All right. So before we get to that, there is plenty of Bears conversation to get to. The biggest thing that has stood out to me the last couple days, one thing Matt Nagy said, I think it was earlier in the week, it's a lot easier to teach after a win than a loss. And you go on this roller coaster of emotions in the NFL season, and it's always better after.
Don't say crisis or carnival. We've used that too much. John Fox is just in our head still.
He is. You know what's funny of all the John Fox stuff? We have. I've never put that one in the board.
No.
Yeah. You know, I'm not an offense coordinator. I'm not a defense coordinator. I'm not a special teams coordinator, but I coordinate all three.
He does.
Mitch talked yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the confidence, but his attitude seemed a little bit better this week.
It's good.
I hate analyzing.
I know. We're in Jay Cutler territory now.
But he was definitely peppier. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I don't know how else to put it.
He's got some pep in his step.
Here, you be the judge. Here's some Mitch Trubisky from yesterday at House Hall.
It's good. You just got to believe, like, this week is going to be the week. So we haven't been executing the way we want to. There's definitely some things that we're missing on film, but we're coming together, and we're correcting them. And the most important thing to me is that my guys still believe in me. I believe in myself, and that we're one unit. We're together. We're sticking together. And we're going to do what we got to do to correct it. And we got to believe that, like, this offense can explode at any minute because of the playmakers and the special guys we have in the locker room. So we just got to keep believing in that, believe in the plan, have a great week of practice, and then go out there and execute it on game day. That's most important. So it's great to have great practices during the week, but you got to make sure you're performing on game day and making those plays for your team. So I'm feeling good about where we're at, and you just got to believe that, like, this is the week, and you know, we can go on from there.
So to continue with the psychoanalysis of the Bears quarterback, he's talking faster again.
Yes, he
which is good,
mm-hmm.
I guess. I don't want to make too much out of it. I know some people roll their eyes right now listening to this, but his demeanor, you mentioned attitude's a good word. It's different from the last week, different from the post game from the Packers. It's Mitch. He's back, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, man. Who wants to get tackled?
That was from his first training camp, I believe.
He's back?
I don't want to say he's back, so but like his...
350 and three touchdowns on Monday?
Well, what do you think he's going to do against the Redskins defense is not good.
Yes.
Not good whatsoever.
I don't know that it's as bad as the numbers say, though.
Okay.
Is it interesting... great preparation by me. I don't have my notes out in front of me. Interesting thing as I went through both games that they've played so far. They have not allowed any points in the first quarter. So as bad as their defense... it says one thing. Like, they've actually gotten out to decent starts in their games defensively, but then they've been god-awful the rest of the way. Here's Dallas's last five drives against the Redskins. Okay, so this was after their first points allowed in week one against the Eagles didn't come until 4:19 left in the second quarter. So well into the second quarter against Dallas... Cowboys did not score until 6:10 left in the second quarter. So Washington's been good early on in games and into the second quarter. But then listen to this. The Cowboys' last five drives of the game, and the sequence starts with 9:44 left in the second quarter.
Okay.
So it's like the rest. So starting early in the second quarter, they only had five drives the rest of the game. The Cowboys did. 97 yards, touchdown. 83 yards, touchdown. 75 yards, touchdown. 68 yards, field goal. 54 yards, touchdown. They had one more drive, actually, after that, but that was when they kneeled down to end the game. So it doesn't really...
Doesn't count.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, touchdown, 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 field goal, touchdown, win the game.
Pretty good.
That's from the early second quarter on. So,
that works.
Washington, boy, they'll kill you in the first quarter. You will not score on them. They are a brick wall. And then start that second quarter
off. It's crumbling, baby.
And we're talking about Mitch Trubisky, six touchdowns against the Bucs. Just kidding. I'm not predicting that. But, you know, it's been an interesting road for these Redskins so far.
I'm curious. As you watch Dak Prescott operate, and I think, look, I've criticized him in the past. He is a good, almost great quarterback now. What he does now works for him. The Cowboys have to pay that man. When you watch them, do you ever just wonder, because I saw some of that game, like, don't you think the Bears should just use some more traditional play action? Maybe that could help Trubisky see the field a bit better. It limits his reads to maybe two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to see the entire field. Prescott has made himself a very successful quarterback through play action. There's been a lot of great quarterbacks that have used play action. John Elway comes to mind. Yeah. Just you know, what are your thoughts as you're watching that game and what maybe the Bears can learn from the Cowboys' success?
I saw this tweet from Matt Bowen yesterday. We love Matt. Friend and guest of the podcast. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott on play action throws this season. 22 of 24 for 318 yards and four touchdowns.
It's good.
That's insane.
That's really good, I think, huh? Look, and I know we talked about this yesterday as we walked away from practice. Like, RPOs technically count as play action. But we're talking
this
about
is different.
This is traditional.
Well, it's a different offense.
Yes, different. But it doesn't mean we've seen the Bears run this before. We have. They just don't do it a lot.
Well, it speaks to if the Bears, and this would be a good week to do it.
Play action boots? Come on.
Because if the Bears are going to, here's what I'd like to see. Look, I made this very clear last week. I thought, and they did what I wanted them to do, which was just run the ball, commit to the run, whether it's working or not. Just do it. Just see what happens. And they wore the Broncos down, and they found success in the third quarter, finally, with some big runs. So now you
saw some play action boot against the Broncos. Go on.
Yes. So now you've established that. It's still not looking great. What was Montgomery's yardage per carry? It's still like 3.3 or something. Wasn't phenomenal.
Yeah. Body blows.
But I'd like to see that approach again.
Yeah.
I'd still like to commit to the run early. You're seeing right here, you do not have to score against Washington in the first quarter to still win the game. Same thing, body blows. Establish that run. Then, to your point, yes, it doesn't always have to be an RPO or a zone read to count as a play action. Like, put Mitch under center.
Yeah.
Fake the handoff.
Good old-fashioned handoff. You know, get those linebackers biting a bit.
But again,
go over the top.
But again, this gets back to what we talked about Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever the hell day it was. Mitch has to make the throw then.
That's
like,
fine.
If you're going to take the shot off of the play action,
yeah,
you got to make
the
throw.
It's like the Taylor Gabriel play.
Yeah.
Sometimes they require in play adjustments, a little bit more velocity, back shoulder balls, whatever. That's fine. I just think it's always, history has shown, play action helps quarterbacks, especially young ones, get into a rhythm.
Well, and that's why
a lot of great ones have made careers off of play action.
But that's why Nagy goes to the RPOs.
Yeah, but it's a different. We're talking about a different. Yeah, yeah. It's in the Bears' offense. Nagy's not as rigid. Like, his offense is very diverse, very multifaceted. It just grabs things from a lot of different philosophies. I know why he likes RPOs. Mark Helfrich is specifically here because of his RPO genius coming from Oregon. But I just think it would help Trubisky.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Look, there are holes in this Washington defense. There are injuries. You know, the Redskins had 24 guys on IR last year. That led the NFL. I mean, they're going through kind of what the Bears were going through under John Fox. You know, they they're still having problems. I mean, right now, first of all, they took that big chance on Reuben Foster in the offseason. Well, I guess that was actually last year when they acquired him, but he tore his ACL in May, which is why you got this combination of John Bostic
and... Whoa!
Yeah. Sean Dion Hamilton is a decent player out of Alabama. This rookie, Cole Holcomb, out of North Carolina, who's played a lot more. He's a fifth-round pick. He's on the field all the time. So they're kind of mixing and matching there at inside linebacker. They don't really have anybody special there. Jonathan Allen is a great defensive lineman. He's hurt. He hurt his knee back in week one. Did not practice yesterday, so that's not looking good for him. So they've been banged up. They got some other guys, too. Of course, on offense, Jordan Reed's been dealing with a concussion since the preseason. You go back to whether or not you play your starters in the preseason. He hasn't played since the third preseason game. That right tackle, when we switched the conversation to the defensive side of the ball, but Morgan Moses, he's been terrible.
Yeah, it's not a good roster.
And he's got a knee injury. It's not a great roster, exactly. So... I do think this is a big week for the offense specifically. I think this is...
I think the entire offense, we talk about Trubisky's confidence, the entire offense could use a confidence-building game.
Yesterday, I asked Trey Burton about how they went through this last year and they broke out of it. And he pointed to that Cardinals game, which he said was week 2. It was actually week 3. But they were trailing in that game. They came back.
They were down 2 scores early.
They were down 14-0. Yeah. It wasn't a pretty win by any means, but they were on the road. They pulled it out. And then, wasn't the Buccaneers game the next week?
Yeah. You know the score of that Cardinals win?
16-14.
What was the score of that Broncos win last week?
16-14.
Ooh.
Wow.
The synergy.
So the only difference is that we're talking about a week
difference. Yes.
But it's still early on season. Very similar. Poor offensive starts, and you're coming off a road win against a not a great team. The Cardinals were garbage last year.
Yeah.
And now you got a defense that you should be able to throw the ball on, I think.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing about this game is you have two very different Trubisky trends, two very different Trubisky statistics. He's not very good in nationally televised games. That includes the Eagles game, even though he was better in the second half of that playoff loss. But he's great at beating up on bad teams. Great. Like last year, his best games were against what? The Buccaneers, you mentioned them. You mentioned the Lions. Just bad teams, non-playoff teams. He beats up on them, especially ones that are statistically bad against the pass, just like the Redskins are this year after 2 games. Now, it's only 2 games, but I think certain trends are starting to emerge. This Washington team, if you want to go back to the first statistic about Trubisky being bad on nationally televised games, is by far the worst team he's ever faced on such a stage. Think of that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
No, that's fair.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not even close. There isn't a team like them. Like last year was what? The Rams. Right? You had the Vikings.
Right.
You had the Eagles. This Washington team, like we just said, not a very good roster, is not those teams.
No.
So which stat, I see him having, I don't know if he's going to have a Tampa Bay-like game. Winning on the road is very difficult. He's not at home in this one. But I could see a very efficient, productive day for Trubisky. He's not going to blow them out of the water. But I think overall, offensively, this could just be a very good, consistent, productive day for everyone involved.
I just want to know, I'm sure Nagy's thinking that same thing. Ooh. I want to know how patient they could be in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Because I still think you come out, you commit to the run, you establish the run, and then you try to open it up from there. And this is the type of opponent that you should be able to break out of that in the second quarter and beyond, as opposed to the Broncos, who are just, you know, much tougher on defense. And you kind of knew it was going to be a struggle from start to finish. But will they be able to resist that urge to take the shot early?
Yeah. You know? I think you would see... I wouldn't be alarmed. I know some people will probably raise a bunch of red flags if you see a more determined ground attack again. Oh, no, they don't trust Trubisky. No, it's you're on the road. You know, they got some good pass rushers that they might want to keep at bay. Ryan Kerrigan's a very good player. But I think there's going to be more shot plays as opposed to the Denver game. Is that fair to say? Like, there'll be more opportunities for Trubisky to stretch the field as opposed to the play calls he got in Denver.
But are you familiar with the Redskins' primetime records as a team?
It's not very good.
Since 2008, Washington is 2-15 in primetime games.
Some Kirk Cousins games in there, I think.
2-15. They have not won a home Monday night football game since December of 2012. They've lost seven straight. That's pretty much it. They're terrible. They're terrible on primetime. They're terrible on Monday Night Football.
They're not a good team.
They're even worse at home.
Yeah.
And then, look at 2019.
They're not a good team. Poor Jay Gruden knows he's...
Case Keenum's, you mentioned...
He's fine.
His numbers, I think they're a little misleading. This team only has one giveaway so far this season. Case Keenum has been lucky. He has had a handful of passes that could have or should have been picked off. And that might be a good time for this.
Bold predictions.
I think this turns into one of those games where the defense does a lot.
Yeah.
The only thing you can complain about right now with the defense is some of the big plays they've given up. On third down, like that was still an issue. I brought up those conversions they allowed last week. Let's see, where they? Although they've actually been pretty good on third down so far this season, only allowing 19% of conversions. That's third best in the league. But they only have one takeaway.
Yeah,
the two games,
the Kyle Fuller interception and the goal line.
As I was watching Washington, I'm just like, they're going to pick off Case Keenum. They're going to. They're not going to drop these interceptions. That one of the Cowboys DBs dropped one easily last week. I think that they... And the other thing is watching the Bears game. The Flacco was getting rid of the ball so quickly, and yet there were five or six snaps where Khalil Mack's hand was within an inch of the ball.
Yeah, it's coming.
Or Leonard Floyd's hand was within an inch of... I mean, they were so close. And so if there's any extra hesitation... Which Case Keenum's not Joe Flacco. I think
that's actual praise for Joe Flacco.
It is. Yes. That is in a weird way. I'm going to say three takeaways for the Bears.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to say two. I was going to say this is the breakout game in my prediction for The Athletic. I think this is the multi interception, multi takeaway game that the Bears defense has been looking for over the past couple weeks. And they've been close. They have been close. There's been a couple. Even Aaron Rodgers had a couple close throws in the opener. I forget exactly what play it was against the Broncos, but there was one where I was completely convinced that Eddie Jackson baited Joe Flacco into a throw down the seam, and he just missed the interception. I think it's the one where he dove and maybe dinged his shoulder a little bit. So the plays are coming. The big plays are coming. Like you mentioned, the Khalil Mack maybe sack strip coming. Leonard Floyd's been outstanding. We talked about him before the show a bit. It's coming. Here's my...
Well, let's be clear. It's a strip sack and not a sack strip.
When I say sack strip, strip sack.
I mean, let's keep it clean here.
Let's go.
Joe, nice to hear from you.
Yep. Yeah, I'm always listening, bud. Come on.
Well, clean that up.
Holy Moses.
Do your editing magic and flip my words if you can.
No.
I appreciate it.
No, that's staying in there.
No, yep. No. Okay, fine.
Golly.
Anyway, thank you, Dal. How are you doing in New York? So this is the game that the defense finally does something. Terry McLaurin, is that your guy?
That's my guy.
Okay. That's like their entire offense, I feel like.
They do have Adrian Peterson.
It kind of says an Adrian Peterson circa. When did he come in? Like,
yeah, he's not like, the same guy.
No.
And Ben Standig, our guest the other day, kind of brought up a good point. It's kind of a tell when he's even back there.
Yes. The most notable thing I've seen from Adrian Peterson this season is him going on camera and saying that he wants to run over somebody from the Redskins front office. Did you see that clip?
Yeah. No.
Yes. That. Come on. It was like 2 days ago. Yes.
Wait, Adrian Peterson said that?
Yes. Well, in jest.
Oh. Doesn't sound like it's in jest.
Yes. Well, I'm sure there's some more there. But like, that's the most notable thing I've heard or seen from Adrian
Peterson. Did you
Peterson
get to a bold prediction yet?
Here it is.
Okay.
Okay. Want to hit the button again? No.
If you want
only
me
once.
To.
Bold predictions.
Trubisky passer rating over 100. I was going to go defense, but I think Trubisky. I don't think it's an electric game.
It's kind of sad that that's a bold prediction.
Well, it is.
But it is.
Compared to the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Joe, do you have one?
I sure do. I got Mitchell Trubisky accounting for three total scores, at least three total scores.
Wow. That's
more bold than Johnsy. What's up?
Yeah, that.
Well, have you seen the first two games, Joe? Okay, yes. Yeah, you're very bold. Go bold or go home.
So take that and think about that for a little bit.
That's pretty good. All right.
Predictions.
You want to go first?
I want to say like 27-9.
Oh, wow. You're going big.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to have multiple takeaways, Bears will obviously have the ball, maybe a couple short fields. 27 points accounts for the three scores that Joe predicts. The Bears are the superior team. It could be close early. I don't see them moving the ball well or that much, except for the surprise bust play that teams seem to get on the Bears' defense every now and then. But I still think they keep them out of the end zone. Maybe they get a couple field goals. 27-9 Bears.
I'm not as bullish on the Bears putting up a ton of points still.
Is 27 really in this day and age a lot of points though?
Well, I agree, and I've obviously said it. I think the matchup here calls for the Bears to move the ball a little bit better. I don't think we can ignore the issues that they're having on their own too. You know,
it's fair.
So I personally do not expect this to be like the game last year against the Bucs, as much as we just made that comparison coming out of that Cardinals game going into the Bucs. I don't expect Mitch to be, you know, throwing for five touchdowns.
How about
in the
a
first
defensive
half.
Score if you got him getting three takeaways?
Well, maybe. I'm always hesitant to throw that in the prediction. I do think the Bears end up with two touchdowns out of this game, whether it's two offensive or one defensive in there. I just those other takeaways that I'm predicting, I'm still hesitant to say the Bears are going to cash in. They just have not been impressive enough in the red zone. Well, they haven't really been in the red zone.
Yeah.
But even when they got down there last year, I took six plays to get in from the five. You know what I mean? So I'm still a little hesitant to say they're going to completely break out on offense. I'm going to say 20-10. Bears win. Couple of those takeaways just lead to field goals. They got to settle for field goals instead of touchdowns because I need to see. The other bold prediction I wanted to make was that Anthony Miller scores a touchdown this week.
Okay,
he did have seven last year, and I'm really confused about why he's like not even in the offense. So maybe they get him involved, but I can't count on it.
They need a lot of playmakers to get involved.
That's what I mean. Until it happens, I can't come out and say that they're going to put up a huge amount of points. Joe?
Yeah, I think they come into this one super motivated. Obviously, they haven't played great, but to come off of a win in Denver, tough, you know, to play in the elevation and have everybody just kind of down on them after a win, I think that kind of gets them going. And Monday night, like I said with the prediction, I see Mitchell Trubisky having a big game, and the Bears win 31-14.
Wow.
Ooh.
All right.
Ooh, okay.
Wow, I mean, we're pretty positive here. I'm the negative guy, and I got them winning by 10.
You're Mr. 13-3. I don't think you could ever be called Mr. Negative.
That's true. Still mathematically possible.
Yes, it is.
So,
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but
his feet are ticklish, I hear.
It's going to be sweet.
Actually, my feet are very ticklish.
It's gross.
It's going to be sweet when the Bears go 13-3.
It's possible. I'm not saying. We all thought they'd be good.
Yeah. One thing we should mention before we move on to our other games, Bilal Nichols, hand injury.
Yes. Not good.
Not ideal.
He was at practice, though. Had his jersey on. Didn't do anything. Doesn't look like he's going to be an IR. We saw him walk to the locker room. That wasn't a hard guess. Unless it was underneath the protection.
Yeah, material. But I think they're going to put a big club on it.
That's fine.
So
it's not like Leonard Floyd's club.
it's, well, that's not, he didn't have his, the club on when he was in the locker room. They do that right before you go out on the field.
No, I understand. Yes, I'm just talking about different players. You know, like, I know hands are important for defensive linemen, but Leonard Floyd's also a guy who's got to play in space. He's got to set the edge. He's got to do some different things with his hands. Look, they're very similar techniques. I get it, but different positions.
It's hard to play on the line with your offensive or defensive line without your hands.
Correct.
So this is a big injury.
Yes.
It does not sound like he's going to play this week. If they're able to get a club on that hand and get him back. Now, they did say he's not going to go on IR. They don't think he is. So that's certainly encouraging. But it's still a thing. I'm wondering, do they promote a defensive lineman?
I just think
Anderson come back
maybe,
on?
Maybe. I just think if there's any position for them to have an injury that they can handle, well, it's this position.
They only have four D linemen right now.
Still, it's still deep. Four is enough for a game.
For three, okay, but you when you're in your base, you have three of them out there.
I know. Well, how often are they in their base nowadays?
Still a decent amount.
Yeah.
They have one guy goes down.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if they make a move on the back end of the roster just to get another body out there. Maybe, you know, waive J.P. Holtz.
Yeah, that's fine.
But it's
my belief this is probably their deepest position. Though Roy Robertson Harris could probably handle a few more snaps. Nick Williams, we saw him get a sack against the Broncos. They're certainly capable reserves. Maybe Eddie Goldman gets more in sub.
Goldman played his ass off the other day, hurt.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah, I get a big story on Eddie Goldman coming this week.
Oh, really?
Yes. Plug. All right. Check it out.
I saw a report that they had brought in some pass rushers. There it is.
That's the new... I brought that in. That's our new bell sound. Anytime you guys plug something at The Athletic.
Okay. Ooh. Check it out. Eddie Goldman's story coming this week.
Get ready on those Tuesday ones, man. but yeah, so they brought in Shane Ray, and did you guys see anybody...
Noah Spence.
Did they bring any big dudes in? Were there any defensive linemen that they were trying out?
No. Obviously, they're not happy with their pass rush depth. Those are two big names, by the way, or relatively speaking. Yeah. First rounder. Noah Spence was good in college. You know, I know he did leave Ohio State, but like there's not exactly a lot of guys out there. You're not going to find Lawrence Taylor out there, Adam.
Well, no, I didn't say they would.
Yeah, you just look like
they got they're so good up front. They can do multiple things. They can have Khalil Mack line up on the D line if they really need him to.
I've been impressed by Aaron Lynch, to be honest.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? Aaron Lynch is in a perfect role where, you know, if he ever had to be the guy that's out there the whole game, I don't think...
He can't handle a full workload.
I don't think you'd be as impressed. But for him to come off the bench and give you spurts when another guy is tired and you need to throw somebody out there, he's been making plays these first 2 weeks. So I agree. He's been good. All right, should we get to our other games?
Let's do it.
All right.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment. Micah, back.
Could you imagine if they actually got back? Now that is a story.
I mean, I tweeted this. I think that it's tremendous reporting. Yes. Relentless.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you got to make the phone call.
You're a jerk.
You got to make the phone call.
Yeah,
because like you said, what if he picks up?
Yeah, well, not that or a ghost. That's even the most. That'd be amazing.
Yeah,
siesta.
You know, could have just been sleeping.
Yes. Yeah. True.
Yeah.
True.
I don't. That's amazing.
I tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment.
Yeah.
I'm searching frantically on Twitter right now. Did you read that there was another news clip that came out? Let's see if I can find it real quickly. Here it is. Let me read you this story. All right. This is from the QMI agency. Missing woman, mystery solved.
Yes. I saw this.
A group of tourists spent hours Saturday night looking for a missing woman near Iceland's Elgja Cannon, only to find her among the search party. The group was traveling through Iceland on a bus and a tour bus and stopped near a volcanic canyon. Soon there was word of a missing passenger. Like, that's just like a dramatic line.
Yeah.
The woman, who had changed clothes, didn't recognize the description of herself and joined in the search. But the search was called off at about 3 a.m. when it became clear the missing woman was, in fact, accounted for and searching for herself. But aren't we all just searching for ourselves?
Right.
kind of lost my razor. Truth be told, my wife wasn't in town all week, so I didn't have anybody getting on me about it.
It's a it's a perfect clip to play for that. That's great. I love the news. That's good. That's good. Okay. Who are we picking?
This is the Broncos, who are searching for themselves as well.
Searching for a win, yes.
At Green Bay. How about the Packers? 8-point favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, their defense might be good.
Noon Sunday on Fox.
Their secondary might be real good. Now, historically, Vic Fangio has had some success against Aaron Rodgers. Dates back to the San Francisco days. Again, I don't know if he has the full stable of horses to contend with Rodgers, but 8 points is still a lot of 8 points. And go ahead.
Real quick, because I did, I just want to you made fun of me last week for not getting you the games until the morning of. So these, I got to you 2 days ago, which you still didn't look at until the morning of. But I just want to make sure the odds are updated, because these were from 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So, Joe, I got this one more at like 7 now, or 7.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of gone up and down a little bit, but that's actually what I was going to get to, is they opened it at 6.5. So
yeah.
To see it bet through the key numbers seems like a lot of people are on the Packers, and I'm with them. I didn't see enough from the Broncos last week, and playing at Lambeau is a clear home field advantage. I understand your point about Vic Fangio and against Aaron Rodgers, but I'm going to take the Packers here.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with 7.5 as the official spread. I'm going to take the Broncos.
Yeah, me too.
I think that...
just to cover.
Just to cover. Yeah, I think the Packers win the game. But you look at that game last week against the Vikings, and I was pretty confident the Vikings were going to win, but Green Bay got out to a fast start and then did nothing the rest of the game. Obviously, there were some adjustments made by the Vikings. I just think that this is a situation where the Broncos actually, if you read their quotes from the game on Sunday, it was a gut-wrenching loss for them.
Yeah.
They were actually pretty happy with how they played and how they battled. I think they're going to carry a little bit of momentum and desperation that they know they absolutely need to get a win. And I'm not sold on the Packers' offense here. And so you look at that matchup, Fangio knows the Packers really well at this point. It has had some success against Aaron Rodgers. I don't see that offense clicking a whole lot. I don't think there's enough points in this game for Green Bay to cover 7.5.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going with the Broncos.
The Broncos haven't had a sack this year. That's with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb.
That's crazy.
Aaron Rodgers still improvises. He holds the ball, but they get to him.
Yeah. Well, the Bears had 5 sacks against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many the Vikings had last week, but... yeah, I think they get after him. So, two of us on the Broncos, one on the Packers, and we'll move on.
Let's pound the ball right up their ass. Knock on wood if you're with me, man. All right?
Ooh. JG.
That's John Gruden. Knock on wood if you're with me. The Raiders go to the Vikings. Noon Sunday on Fox. All these NFC North games, the other ones, are noon Sunday on Fox. Let's make sure this one is up to 9.
Wow.
I had it listed as 8. It is now up to 9. Opened at 7.5. Vikings favored by 9 over the Raiders.
Ooh. The Vikings are going to win this, but I'll take the Raiders to cover.
You think so?
Yeah. 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 I know that's a very good defense they have in Minnesota still. Dalvin Cook. Oof. Great start to the season. Still, 9 points is a lot.
It is a lot of points. I think the Vikings bounce back. They won comfortably at home against the Falcons in week 1. Sticking with kind of what I thought about Oakland before the season began, I don't think they're really good. I think week 1 was a little bit of a fluke over the Broncos. I think maybe this is one that they're flirting with in the fourth quarter. I think the Vikings win comfortably, though. Joe?
Yeah, I agree. Jay and John Gruden are going to be winless and coverless this weekend. So take that. Think about that.
What else? Go ahead. I'm listening.
All right. The Lions are at the Eagles. This is a tough game.
Big spreads this week, huh?
Yeah.
And these aren't even the big ones. We don't even have the Cowboys and Patriots on.
I know.
There's some. New England's a 23-point favorite over the Jets.
Yeah.
And what's the Cowboys spread at now? Oh, Dallas 23.5 over the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Boy, the NFC East. Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day, not to get sidetracked, but it's not just that the Patriots are so good. Like, they have, Bill Belichick has totally mind effed that entire division.
Yeah, he is.
They got them all thinking so. Yeah. They're so desperate. They're always changing coaches. They're none of them have a plan. That is part of the reason why the Patriots are so dominant in that.
Yeah, he has routinely stolen the souls of coaches and players and quarterbacks from that division, GMs from that division. Just suck them.
Think about it. They just sent their defensive coordinator to Miami.
Yeah.
Brian Flores was the Patriots' defensive coordinator last winter when they won the Super Bowl.
Belichick don't give a damn, no.
The defense is better.
Yeah.
And Brian Flores has to be totally regretting that right now.
Yes, yes.
Just a disaster.
Josh Rosen's going to start for him this week.
Oh,
man. And none of them even have like an arrow up. I mean, granted, Darnold got hurt, but I mean, they don't even look like they're on their way towards being decent. It's three really bad teams that have been bad for a long time. Like, dude, figure it out.
And Buffalo, if you look at their schedule, it's actually a relatively easy road coming up here. I mean, it would not be shocking if Buffalo, I think, it sits at 6-2 even.
Yeah.
And ends up, but they're going to finish 8-8 or 9-7. Yeah. Maybe squeak in as a wild card
like
they did a couple years ago, but they're not a threat. Put it this way, are they going to beat the Patriots in either game they play against? No. They're not going to beat the Patriots. No. So, it's just a disaster in that division. All right. Here,
anyway.
NFC North, the Lions at the Eagles. And what did I say this is at now?
7. It moved again?
I don't know. I'm having issues here finding his games for some
reason. Yeah, most of them are at around 6, 5.5, 6.
Yeah, it's down to 6. Yeah.
I'll take the Eagles. They're banged up, though. DeSean Jackson, I hear, is out. Dallas Goedert, their backup tight end, is out. Alshon Jeffrey, believe this or not, Adam, is hurt.
Really?
Yes.
And I believe it's a calf strain.
Oh.
Huh.
A calf. Never had that here. I joke. He's a Super Bowl champion. Yeah. You know, the Eagles haven't been exactly on fire or amazing this year, have they? Carson Wentz has had some moments. Yeah.
They look great in the second half against Washington.
That's fine. Well, apparently that's the trend.
Yeah.
Give me the Eagles.
I don't feel great about this, but yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles too. I think what the Lions did to the Chargers last week won't happen on the road, so I'm going to take Philly.
Yeah, the Eagles do a much better job against NIU grad Kenny Galladay, and they cover the 5.5, 6. Buy me some peanuts
and Cracker Jack. The Baltimore Ravens at the Kansas City Chiefs. What a quarterback matchup this is. Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. There's a guy in my fantasy league, you beat me last week, has both of those quarterbacks. Because we're a two-quarterback league.
Oh.
And, yeah, Mahomes was his keeper from last year, and then he drafted Lamar. And I had the second most, you know what you love when this happens? Second most points in the league last week. But the one team I was behind was the team I was playing.
Yeah.
And really, how are you supposed to beat that tandem right now?
Yes, yes.
To see them both in this game will be fun. It's noon Sunday on CBS. Man, this noon slate's going to be interesting. And we don't have to work. That's nice.
Yes. I want to kind of take the Ravens in an upset here.
An upset?
Yes.
Like to win the game?
Full on upset. Yes. I am on the Lamar Jackson train.
You are?
Yes, yes. For much as we've ridiculed him, he's gotten so much better. He's playing confident. They have an offense that works for him. Obviously, teams are still scared of his legs. He can still make plays with them. Give me upset here. Ravens. Still got a good defense. Ravens, upset.
Okay, if you're calling for the upset, then at the spread, are you locking them up?
Okay, yes, absolutely, yes.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No. You lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
And this is sitting 5.5, 6 right now. We'll call it 6, but you know what? I don't think the Ravens are going to win, but I am going to also take them to cover. I think that there's something going on in Baltimore, and I kind of doubted them at the beginning of the year because I didn't really believe in the quarterback, but you're right. I mean, how do you deny what he's doing? something about me, this game makes me think it's going to be close, and I don't think, I still think the Chiefs win, but I will take Baltimore to cover.
Yeah, no Kareem Hunt, no Tyreek Hill, and they just continue to roll. The Chiefs are a dominant force, and playing at home, I have comfort that they'll win. I'm not as confident that they'll cover the spread, but since you guys went the other way, I'll take the Chiefs.
Hello, everyone. This is Al Riveron.
Oh, it's our guy. We moved to Sunday night. Yeah, this is Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams at the Browns. Browns getting the primetime treatment early on. Baker Mayfield did not look good on Monday
night. He's not been good this season.
He did not. I mean, I watched that whole game. Browns won comfortably because the Jets are trash, but Baker was missing throws. He wasn't reading coverages correctly. He's throwing right in the middle of cover two.
Yeah, I mean, incorrectly.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever's the worst version of that.
Yes. Well, yes. You say correctly.
Or incorrectly.
And the way you made it sound like he wasn't doing it correctly, so it's incorrectly.
All right.
Yes. He struggled. Ooh. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sold on the Browns. I'm not sold on the Rams either. But I think the Rams are just a little bit more polished right now. Aaron Donald's still unstoppable. I think he rattles Baker Mayfield a bit. Rams.
Rams got some help last week. A couple things in that game. Obviously, Drew Brees going down did not help the Saints. And then they had that big play that should have been a touchdown for the Saints. Cam Jordan returned that fumble for a touchdown, and it was ruled incomplete on the field. And so when they reversed it, they couldn't award the Saints the touchdown. The referee who made that bad decision, Walt Anderson.
Mm.
The referee that'll be in Washington on Monday night, Walt Anderson.
So you're taking Walt Anderson in this game.
I will take Walt Anderson. He's not in this game. He's in the Bears game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Wasn't paying attention.
No, Walt Anderson.
You lost me at officials talk. Go ahead. Yep, make your pick.
Hello, everyone. This is Al Riveron.
Just tuned you right out.
Yep.
Okay. Not terribly impressed with the Browns so far.
Not terribly impressed with the Rams, apparently, either.
Yeah. Give me the Browns with the points at home, though. Joe?
Yeah, I'll go the other direction here. The Browns look good against a bad Jets team, but Baker seems to be locking in on Odell Beckham, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but there are other playmakers on the team. I think they have a lot going on defensively, and once Myles Garrett figures out how to get to the quarterback without getting penalties, they're going to be even better. But I'll take the more polished team. I'll take the Rams.
Myles Garrett was a beast on Monday night against the Jets. This is part of the reason why I think the Browns may end up winning this game. It's a home game. The crowd's going to be crazy in Cleveland. The Browns have a pass rush. Like, I just look at the matchup. I don't know why. The
Browns have a good defense.
The Bears-Rams game at Soldier Field last year is popping in my head. Now, it's not going to be that cold. I just, for some reason, I think the Browns keep this close and maybe even win. All right, let's get to the big one. a.m. Saturday. I'll be on the sidelines at Northwestern.
So I'm just going to stay out of the way of the analysis. And whoever makes the best argument, I will side with and pick your team. Go.
Well, I think Joe's going to pick Wisconsin. Do I have that right?
Spoiler alert.
All right. Number 11, Michigan. At number 13, Wisconsin. Badgers favored by 3.5. Joe, you can go first.
So Michigan is not as bad as they've looked, you know, and obviously as a fan of them, it might sound like I'm just trying to defend them just to defend them, but they haven't had their left tackle. They haven't had their best playmaker in Donovan Peoples-Jones. Those guys get back. I think the bye came at a great time, obviously, not so much for Wisconsin, but you look at the way that this team has played on the road against good and average teams. It just hasn't been, you know, it's been ugly. They've lost to Iowa on the road. They've lost. They went into overtime against Indiana. I think you go to Madison and you're kind of lucky that it's not a night game. But this, to me, looks like a game that Wisconsin can control on the ground. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor, he had more rushing yards than Wisconsin had passing yards at the Big House last year. I think he stays on the field. He has a big game for his Heisman run. Wisconsin wins and covers. Not a blowout or anything, but I do think Wisconsin is the team to beat here.
Yeah, I think this is more about the fact that Wisconsin is better than we probably all thought than it is Michigan's struggle. I'm not totally buying Michigan's struggles. I watched a lot of that Army game. Sometimes you just got to throw out games against Army and Navy. It's a tough, weird, different game. It's a different game. It's tough to play defense against that. And I don't know if that excuses there are issues on offense, but you know, it was a sleepy 11 a.m. game or noon game out there, whatever. I just think Wisconsin right now, they're loaded on that offensive line, even though I think they have three new starters. Jonathan Taylor has been amazing. Jack Cohn, their quarterback, more importantly, is playing a lot better than he looked last year when he would just hand the ball to the other team every other play. I just think Wisconsin's rolling. They're coming off a bye, too, so they're going to be healthy at home. I kind of wish this was a night game, not at 11 a.m., but I'll take it. And I think Wisconsin wins pretty comfortably.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Come on, man. You didn't have to lock it.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
So you're telling me to take Wisconsin?
Double lock.
Got it, guys.
Joe's face. So you took, you're taking Wisconsin. That's it? All right.
If we win this game tonight, Adam Hall will be rhetorically dancing with his verbiage. Two outs. Here's Luke Voigt pinch batting.
Moving on. Number 8, Auburn at number 17, Texas A&M. The Aggies favored by 3.5 in this football game. 2:30 Saturday on CBS. What a doubleheader for CBS this weekend, by the way.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, sorry, dude. I will go with, you know, at the remote at Houndstooth, I said that Texas A&M is going to be the best 500 team, basically, like, to ever play college football.
Yeah.
They play in the toughest division, and they are, you know, their crossover game at the end of the season is against Georgia. But this is actually a game that I think that they can win. This is, like, the one game they have three or four top 10 games remaining with Bama still on the schedule, Georgia, and finish the season with LSU. I think Kellen Mond has a good game, and that 12th man is going to start drinking right about now for the game. So I will take the Aggies at home.
Yeah, I just like the Aggies at home, too. That place is crazy. What a great atmosphere. A&M at home covering 3.5.
I'll just take Auburn.
Fair enough. You're going the other way.
Yes.
All right.
Are we keeping track of these anymore?
I don't think so.
No. We are not good.
I think Adam's had a good season.
All right. This last one, I don't know what to think of it, but number 7, Notre Dame at number 3, Georgia. It's a huge game. 7 p.m. Saturday on CBS. Game everybody's been looking forward to for a long time. I can't believe that Georgia's a 2-touchdown favorite.
Yeah, I like the Irish to cover. I read something today that the average ticket for this game is like the most in demand in like 6 or 7 years.
Really?
In that for that stadium down there, or just in the Georgia, whatever, in the state.
Yeah.
In a long time. The average ticket price is $611. That's money.
This one keeps going Georgia's way, too. It opened at 10.5. Some places it's up to 15.
Oof. Give me the Irish. Give me some Ian Book action.
I want to hear Joe's analysis first.
Yeah, I'm not totally sold on Notre Dame being a top 10 team. I think Ian Book is a good quarterback. I just don't see enough of the rest of the roster, you know, following suit. Georgia is a really, really good team on both sides of the ball at home. But 14 points, man, I was surprised that it's been bet through all the way to 14 as well. Man, if this was an early kickoff, I think Notre Dame could keep it closer. But I think Georgia just pours it on late.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this because I do think Georgia is much better and really doesn't have many weaknesses. They're at home, but I don't think Notre Dame's that bad. I mean, they kind of get exposed, right, when they get to the college football playoff last year. But I'm going to take Georgia. They're just too good. I'm going to take Georgia. It's a huge number, but I think they end up covering. So that's what I'm going to do. This is a tough one. I hope it's a good game, though. I hope Notre Dame does cover.
Yeah.
Because I want to be watching a good football game Saturday night. All right. Good stuff, guys. Joe, good luck on Saturday.
Yeah, you know how the Wisconsin Badgers haven't given up a point this year?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to continue.
It's positive.
All right. Looking for, you know, any, so you're looking for safety at least.
Oh, no way, man. I'm talking about them giving up points on defense, and that's definitely going to end.
All right. We need to get out of here. Bears, Redskins, Monday Night Football. Should be a fun weekend. We get to watch some football on Sunday. Looking forward to that. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, and Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Joe Romano, whenever Michigan scores those points, you can follow him, get his reaction at Joey Joe Rowe on Twitter. Read us at WGNRadio.com, The Athletic, The Athletic app. Please rate and review the podcast. Please tell your friends. Please subscribe if you don't already, if you're a new listener. And be checking out our free episode. No, that's not. We have two free episodes. I could say this correctly, right?
Try again.
Check out our exclusive episode to Athletic subscribers on The Athletic during the week. If you're not subscribing there, you should be. Go check it out. And anything else? Any other final thoughts?
No. Should be a good game for the offense.
It should be.
Should be.
Will it be?
Ooh.
We'll tell you all about it after the game from Washington, D.C. We'll have our post-game episode. That's coming up Monday night. We'll talk to you then.
See ya. Hey, we're not done yet. We are excited to share some big news to our team here at The Athletic and our friends at Wondery. Just launched a brand new daily sports show called The Lead that we want you to know about.
The Lead is the first daily sports news podcast that will cover everything from the world stage to the hometown. With the help of The Athletic's more than 400 sports writers, I believe that includes you, Johnsy.
Hello.
And editors, co-hosts Kavitha Davidson and Anders Kelto will bring you sports news up close and personal each weekday morning.
So you're about to hear a preview of The Lead. So subscribe to The Lead on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get our show or wherever you get your other podcasts so you don't miss an episode. There's also a link in the episode notes that will take you right there.
And check out theathletic.com/The Lead to read stories featured on The Lead.
You can follow sports through sound bites or the full story.
From up in the press box or down on the sidelines.
What do you want to accomplish this year?
Actually, I want to accomplish getting on this team first.
This fall, a new daily podcast brings you closer to the sports stories that matter.
Stories about players.
A guy like Zion just represents that hope of the failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy now.
That's the buzzer. Oh, he knocks it down!
Stories about hometowns.
You will see hundreds of people wearing number 32 Simpson jerseys in the stands on Sunday afternoons for a Bills home game.
And stories about the teams you love.
This was the first chance for all those baseball fans to see their guys.
From The Athletic, home to the best storytelling in sports.
And Wondery, the company behind Sports Wars and Gladiator.
I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Anders Kelto. Introducing The Lead. Go beyond the box score 5 days a week.
This isn't a story where you go to some place and interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
Are you kidding me?
I have never seen anything like that.
The Lead premieres September 16th on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
Oh, what a mess with that.
The Lead, sports up close.
Hey, I need some more of that.